Okay, 16 to 24. The word of Jehovah came to me saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their way and by their deeds. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her nidah. So I poured out my fury on them for the blood which they had shed upon the land, and because they had defiled it with their idols. I scattered them among the nations, so they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and their deeds, I judged them. Wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my Kadosh name. Since it was said about them, these are the people of Jehovah, yet they had to leave his land. But I had concern for my Kadosh name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says Adonai Jehovah, I do not do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for my Kadosh name, which you profaned among the nations wherever you went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am Jehovah. It is a declaration of Adonai Jehovah when I am sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you back to your own land. Amen. As we were saying last week, good old Barney, he's all right. Just as the Father's name is prophetic to every generation, so is the nation of Israel prophetic to every generation. In reality, that no generation to this generation has any disadvantage from any other generation. If the scriptures are read and pursued, and if there's a hunger and a searching and a seeking for truth, Jehovah will always reveal himself and truth scripturally. So there is a message, as we've been talking about, there's a message in Jehovah's name, as I am, the great Saviour, the great Redeemer, Adonai Jehovah. And so, just as it said about Jehovah and of Yehoshua, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tells us that in Hebrews, doesn't it, about Yeshua? I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can say exactly the same thing about the nation of Israel. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing changes for the nation of Israel. Their name, my name is in them. They are called by my name. I am their God. There is no other. And what it says of their God, it says of his nation and of his chosen, set apart people. They are a nation, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, as we read in these verses in Ezekiel, an Israelite is always an Israelite. And I think I said that last week. He can never change his identity. Can't change his nationality. Can't change his citizenship. And he cannot ultimately change the land in which he lives or in which he will dwell permanently. This is the record. And this is what the nations around Israel were saying of Israel when they were captured and scattered, "These people have left his land." And Jehovah says why he scattered them from his land. And we know that they have assimilated. We know that many have lost their identity in their own minds. There are many multitudes of people that don't know that they have ancestry that goes back to Jewish parents or Hebrew parents or grandparents or great-grandparents or whatever. But Jehovah knows. He doesn't lose track of anybody, of any peoples, no matter where they go. As David said, to the highest heaven, to the deepest ocean, to the farthest nations. No matter where I try to hide, he knows where I am. And he knows who I am. So Jehovah has decreed his dwelling place in his covenant with Abraham. And here it is emphasized by Ezekiel. "Abraham, I'm sending you to a land you do not know. And from your seed, I'm going to raise up a nation of people. And where your feet tread, from north to south and east to west, this is your land, from this border to that border." And this was the dwelling place of this nation, belongs to nobody else. The land of Israel will never have its borders changed, ever, 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 in God's economy. Israel belongs to him in a very special, specific, chosen way. Its ownership can never be changed. Its eternal purpose can never be changed. Its end time message, its end time role in Jehovah's plan for the nations of the world will never change. And the nation of Israel, its people, its territory, its geography, specifies a message to the world. Whether the world is listening or not is totally and absolutely irrelevant. It never changes. Jehovah knows its exact boundaries. He knows exactly its purpose and its destiny. He knows that its history. He raised up this nation. He raised up this people, and this people and this land is a witness and a testimony to every other nation of the greatness of Jehovah. And that can never change. Absolutely never. It's just interesting that it doesn't matter. Wherever the leadership of Israel goes, there is always going to be people protesting, protesting, protesting. Always highlighting the wicked, evil schemes of Israel, which aren't wicked, evil schemes of Israel at all, just because they build some houses on their own property and someone says they're not allowed to, because the United Nations or some other group says, no, they are occupiers of the Palestinians. No such nation as Palestine, no such people as Palestinians exist, except in their own minds. Jews are Palestinians, but they won't allow the recognition nor definition. Because Palestine is a geographical location. It's not a nation. It is was a very huge geographical location. And Israel was given the land of Palestine at the end of the Second World War. And we know the stories and we know the history. But it is fought over. It is called an apartheid nation, worse than South Africa's apartheid. And all kinds of things are leveled at it. So, but when we look at the scriptures, we know that this is Jehovah's intention, that the world will never take their eyes off this land. No matter who has transgressed its ownership, no matter who has fought with them in war, no matter who has done what to them and attempted to obliterate them from off the face of the earth and scatter them again and again and again, never makes not one iota of difference. They are still witnessing to the greatness of Jehovah. The fact that he, according to his promise, has brought them back to that land and re-established a nation called Israel is a miracle of his making. In the eyes of the world, they are a witness and a testimony, and no one can change or alter that. No man, no leader, no church, no denomination, no other creed, be it Muslim, Christian, communist, Western, ideologues, doesn't matter. They cannot change the facts that a miracle has taken place where this nation is as strong and as well accepted by many nations, and increasingly so. Why? Because they have technology, because they have the power and the ability to make money, because they can produce cities out of rubble, because they can accomplish and achieve things, make war, be strong. Nations sit up and take notice. So the truth of what Ezekiel said centuries and centuries before is true, and what all the other prophets are saying about this nation. So since the times of Abraham, when Jehovah established his covenant, established the land on which his seed would become co-owners with him, the nations of the world have been on notice, and the nations of the world are being tested as to their character, their nature, and responses to Jehovah's dealings with Israel and to the promises that he made to this nation of Israel and to how the nations respond to Jehovah's dealing with them. With those nations in relationship to Israel. They have been put on notice. Every nation on planet Earth has been put on notice. They will be judged, justified, blessed or cursed according to how they have responded to Israel and God's dealings with them. In everything that happens with the nation of Israel and the nations surrounding them, we know, of course, that Elohim is at work behind the scenes. The good, the bad, and the ugly that goes on in that nation and the nations that want to wipe them off the planet, behind the scenes, Jehovah's at work, fulfilling his purpose and his destiny and plan for that nation. And in the process, he's testing the character of every other nation. He's testing the attitude, spirit, heart, behavior of every other nation on the planet as to how they relate to this land and to this people that he has brought back to live in that little spot in the Middle East. And he is cataloguing the sins of the nations and the way in which they respond and treat Israel in relationship to Jehovah's blessing upon them and re-establishment on them. And that's quite obvious here in this passage, isn't it? Isn't it?
Manifestly.
He says, I will bring you back to this land. And he says he's going to establish, and he is going to proclaim and he's going to declare his name to all the nations before the eyes of all the world, or before the eyes of Israel in the face of all the nations of the earth. He makes that promise and he declares, and he said in Ezekiel there we just read, and I will go and I will bring you back from every nation. I will bring you back from every nation where you've been scattered. He says that quite clearly, doesn't he? And what does Yeshua say in Matthew 24? That when the trumpet sounds, He's going to send forth his angels, his messengers to the ends of the earth, and he's going to bring his people back. He's going to bring his people back. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that, but he's going to do that. This peoples that are living in the nations of the earth are going to be so terrorized and so hated, and anti-Semitism is so going to rise in the nations of the earth. But when the trumpet sounds, when war has broken out in the Middle East, when great tribulation falls upon the Middle East and the nations, and the Antichrist and the false prophet and the beast arise and take control of the world and its economies, then that nation, Israel, is in great trouble, as we know. Peace treaties will be broken, promises that were made that were never meant to be kept will not be kept, and great devastation will flow. Jehovah will come, and he will save his people, fulfill his covenant promises. The trumpet will blow, the Messiah will come, and the angelic hosts, multitudes of thousands upon thousands, 10 times 10,000s, will gather the elect from the ends of the earth and bring them back to that land. This is what he is saying in Ezekiel. This is what he's saying in Matthew. This is what the prophets all over are saying. And so it's nice to understand the truth of what is going to take place and how he looks and watches over his chosen people. And it's interesting to see, like, when Netanyahu comes onto our shores, and then you get the Jewish people marching through the streets with their banners and blessing Netanyahu and just welcoming him and enjoying the fact that he is the first prime minister of Israel to ever come to our nation and meet with the sitting prime minister. And then you get the other side. You get the Palestinians and you get those who are anti-Israel and uni students and all those that are so hotly contesting on their side, marching with their banners and wanting to see Israel obliterated. It's an interesting scenario. But behind the scenes, in the good, the bad and the ugly, the Almighty Elohim of Israel is at work. Those that love them, those that hate them, those that stand with them and those that won't. And Jehovah is testing the character, the nature, the attitude, and the behavior of every peoples on the earth in relationship to Israel. And that becomes the touchstone. That becomes the litmus test of what do you do with my people as to how he will deal with the nations of the earth. And as we read there in Ezekiel, in all the indiscretions of Israel, its apostasy, its idolatry, its disdain for Jehovah's statutes and commandments and his ordinances, but in the midst of all of that, the greatest concern for Elohim and the greatest consequence of Israel's behavior has been the desecration and profaning of his name among the nations. And as we've been saying, that his name and Yeshua's name are one. And that desecration and that profaning of the name in Moses' day and in the prophets' days is prophetic of Yeshua's name down to this very day being profaned, disempowered, and made of none effect. And when it comes to Yeshua, Israel as a nation despises that name. And from the book of Acts, the apostles were told to preach no more in that name. And one of the great unfortunate things of Yeshua is this attitude prevails very strongly probably primarily because his name has been Christianized. And Yehoshua was Christianized by Catholicism and Protestantism and every other denomination that's come down. And they slaughtered and killed Jews by the thousands, the millions, and they did it in the name of Jesus. So when his name was Christianized, he was hated by the nation of Israel, people of Israel. And you can understand why. You look at the Holocaust, you look at the Spanish Inquisition, you look at the great atrocities that happened in the pogroms. Unbelievable. No wonder they hate Jesus. And those who put their trust in him cannot be trusted. His great name has been defamed. And they don't see the connection between their God and Jesus. Who could under those circumstances? But if the truth of his name had been adhered to, the truth of Jehovah and his son Yehoshua, what is his name and what is his son's name? If it had have prevailed, and the great prophetic purpose of that name, the joining of those names to make them one upon the earth as Redeemer, Savior, something different would have happened. But Satan's at work. He's always at work, wanting to destroy, wanting to bring the name to non-effect and to remove its power and authority until the nations of the earth take up their communistic brand of ideology, and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and atheists. They'll take up every other name. Multitudes of Westerners love to identify with Buddha. Statues of Buddha here, and they go overseas to learn how to be a good Buddhist. And all of this nonsense and rubbish, try to talk to them about Yeshua or Jesus or any of these things, and not interested, thanks. You know, Buddha's got the answer. Where does that come from? Just an amazing thing. But his name has been made of no effect, disempowered, until the world says he is just a swear word, he is just a joke. And my name has been profaned. But the day is coming, as Ezekiel says, the day is coming when my great name, all nations will know I am Jehovah, and what that means, and how Jehovah and Yehoshua are one name together. That I am Jehovah, and you know me in my son, Yehoshua. Jehovah saves. The two are one name, one power, one authority, until he is ruling in all the earth in that name. Therefore, of course, that means that there is no kingdom on the earth until that name is reinstated to its rightful place. When he returns, when Israel is gathered from the nations, when Israel is saved from extinction and made a great nation again, and Yeshua comes as Messiah and King, his name will be reinstated in all its power and authority and greatness, and the kingdom will fill the earth. And the kingdom is not upon the earth, is not filling the earth, and all things aren't under his feet yet, except in the hearts and minds of individuals and groups scattered throughout the earth. But the day is coming when it will come from out of our hearts into the physical realms of the world, and the world will be one in the truth of it. So, and of course we understand that's what the Sabbath is about. That's what the feasts are about. That's why we celebrate feasts. That's why we have Sabbaths. It's revealing the greatness of the name of the kingdom. its creator and its king, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah Elohim. And we celebrate the greatness of who he is. And the truth and the purpose of his witness through the nation of Israel as the only truth, as the only light, as the only way of salvation, redemption, and being part of the kingdom in all its fullness. And there is the Sabbath. They say, are you a Jew? That's Jewish. You keep the feasts. Are you a Jew? That's Jewish. It's always meant to be that way, pointing back to the Messiah of the Jews, the King of the Jews. And it's a witness and a revelation. No wonder Jehovah says, I am Kadosh. Be ye Kadosh as I am Kadosh. I am separated from the mindset and the ways of the world. Be you separated from the mindset and the ways of the world. Don't be a Sunday worshipper, be a Sabbath worshipper. Don't celebrate Christmas and Easter, celebrate the feasts. He says, it separates you from the mindset of the world. It separates you from a different kind of gospel message that doesn't take you to the kingdom in all its fullness. It takes you somewhere short of it. And it's a powerful truth and a powerful thing. Let's read Isaiah 48, verses 1 to 12. Israel's past, Israel's present, and Israel's future. Isaiah 48, 1 to 12. It says, hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, who came from the wellspring of Judah, who swear by the name of Jehovah, and confess the Elohim of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. For they call themselves by the Kadosh city, and they lean on the Elohim of Israel, Jehovah of hosts is his name. So that's kind of their present. The prophet is talking about, this is who you are. You are this people, called by the name of Israel. You swear by the name of Jehovah. You confess the God of Israel, even if it's not in the fullness of truth and righteousness. You call yourselves by the holy city, the set-apart city, Jerusalem. This is how you identify yourselves as a people. And he goes on to say, I foretold the former things long ago. They went forth from my mouth. He's talking about their past. He's taking them back into their history. Suddenly I acted, so they came about. For I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is iron sinew, and your forehead bronze. So I foretold it to you long ago. Before it came about, I made you hear, lest you should say, my idol did them, my carved image, yes, my molded image commanded them. You have heard, see all of it. So will you not admit it? So he's saying, I always reveal to you things that were going to happen in your history and your life before it ever came to pass. I said this and this and this is going to happen, and it happened. Doesn't matter who I revealed it through Daniel the prophet, through Moses the prophet. I said things that if you did this and this and this, this is what would take place. If you honor, bless, and follow my commandments, this will take place. If you don't, this will take place. And he gave them lots of specific, named nations and named leaders who weren't even born yet, that would come about in their history of certain things. And he said, I foretold you this so that the good things that come to pass on your life, you could never say, my idol did this for me. No, Jehovah, Elohim of Israel, declared that these things would come upon you, and he declared that these bad things would come upon you, so that you would know that I am true and that I declared them, and you cannot deny it, even though you will try. Then he goes on in verse 5. Verse 7. Verse 6. You have heard, see all of it. So will you not admit it? So he goes into their future. I proclaim to you new things. From now on, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you had not heard them. So you will not say, sure, I knew them. You have not heard, you never knew. Even from long ago, your ear has not been open. For I knew that you are treacherous and from birth were called a rebel. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For my praise, I will restrain it for you. Otherwise, I would cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, though not as silver. I tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake I act. For how should I be profaned? I will not give my honour, my praise to another. Listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. So he's saying there through the prophet, I'm going to show you new things. I'm going to tell you new things, things you haven't heard before. These prophets will prophesy of your future Messiah, your future Redeemer. Go on a little bit further, Isaiah 53, and he's prophesying Yeshua the Messiah. He's telling them things that they didn't understand or know before. Other prophets are telling them things. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. And all kinds of prophecies about them as a people and a nation. You will be scattered, you will be gathered. Babylon will come and take you over. It's things you didn't know nor believe before, but I'm telling you before they happen, that they're going to happen in your future, and they will happen exactly as I say. So what was Israel's entire reason for being? To be a witness, to reveal that great name to all the earth. And if we can just value and appreciate that they were surrounded by idolatry. We mentioned this a couple of weeks back. But they were captives in Egypt where they had multitudes of gods. A god for everything. Didn't matter whether it was Egypt or the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. It didn't matter what nation. They are surrounded by idol worshippers who have multitudes of idols. To the Greeks, to the Romans, all worshipped the same gods of old with different names, but with the same histories. And they were surrounded by idolatry and the worshippers of other religions in the names of other gods. But he says, this nation will reveal my name as being greater and higher and more powerful. And I will do things that no other god will do. And I will destroy every other god. The same as I did to the Egyptians, I'm going to do to every god, to every name, to every idol, until there is only one name left, mine. And it will be supreme. And so the entire purpose of the nation of Israel was to reveal the greatness of the Elohim of Israel. You swear by my name. We read, Jehovah. You are called by the name Israel, we read. All having the name of their God, their El, in who they are and who they are called and who watches over them. And everything he says about them will always come to pass. I will demonstrate my greatness through you. He demonstrated his greatness in ways he didn't want to. Through judgments, punishments, scatterings, death. He didn't want to reveal his greatness that way. He wanted to reveal his greatness through blessing, miracles, provision, protection, overshadowing greatness, wealth. In every way, he wanted to pour out abundant blessings on them in a way that only he could do and no other god could do. Because we know that every other god, every other religion, every other nation had a god for their fertility. They had a god for their crops. They had a god for their rain. They had a god for everything. And how often did those gods fail them? All the time. Yet they still offered sacrifices, they still worshipped, they still hoped that they would somehow appease the wrath of their gods and good things would come. But Jehovah, he wanted through this nation to show that I always have good. I always bring blessing. I always give you the best. If you will keep my commandments, if you'll walk according to my statutes, then only blessing will rain down upon you. And all the nations will say, what an amazing, amazing nation. What great laws they have. What wonderful relationships and justice and goodness. And how blessed and healthy and strong and provided for is this people. Jehovah said that to them. This is what the nations will say. If you will do what I have asked you to do, you will be such a blessed people. And my name will be great above every other god. That was his objective. That the whole earth would see that this one Jehovah Adonai Elohim was the creator and the giver of life. And he was going to demonstrate the power and the truth of it through the nation of Israel. He still does, but in a different way. Everything he says comes to pass, the good and the bad. He just wanted it to be good, but it's good and bad. But whatever he said about the nation of Israel happens every time. And if a blind man wants to have a good look, he'll see it. Jehovah said, I will re-establish and I will bring my people back to my land and give it to them. And he's doing it exactly as he said, and it will continue to unfold exactly as he said. So Jehovah raised up this nation that they may reveal the greatness of the Creator through them as a nation, through their Messiah, and through their witness and their message, through the apostles, down to our time. So only through Israel could Jehovah, or would Jehovah, reveal his true nature, personality, character, purpose, message, power, eternal plan, authority, and through none other would he do it. Psalm 76, verses 1 to 3. For the music director, or stringed instruments, Psalm of Asaph, a song. In Judah, Elohim is known. In Israel, his name is great. In Salem is his sukkah. That's Jerusalem. And his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the fiery shafts of the bow, the shield, the sword, and the battle. Selah. That's a pretty powerful truth, isn't it? In Judah, God is known. In Israel, his name is great. In Salem is his sukkah. We know that is his tabernacle. In Zion, his dwelling. But as we've been highlighting, Israel made a mockery of all that and defiled it and profaned it by them becoming idolatrous and idol worshippers and their other transgressions, as we was reading in Ezekiel. The earth is Jehovah's. The sea and the earth and the fullness thereof and everyone who dwells therein belong to him. Jehovah, therefore, owns all nations, all peoples, yet he only put his name in one city, in the city of one nation, Jerusalem. And as I mentioned last week, it's the universal capital of the earth. But it will only become the center of the universe, the center of the kingdom of Jehovah on earth, when it's done in his name. It won't be done in anybody else's name. It won't be done in the EU's name. It won't be done in the Pope's name. It'll only be done in Jehovah's name. That's where I put my name, as he says there in Psalm 76. and that's my dwelling place. That's where I belong, and that's where I'll reign from. And that day is coming. And as we read in Ezekiel 36, verse 23, he said again, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am Jehovah. It is a declaration of Adonai Jehovah when I am sanctified in you before their eyes. Before every eye of every nation, my name will be set apart and be great in the nation of Israel and over all the earth. Again, that's Israel's purpose in the nations, to accomplish that very end. And he will accomplish it whether it has or hasn't been to this point in time. And we know why Israel ended up scattered amongst the nations, because of their idolatry and turning their backs on the ways of Jehovah. But their purpose in the nations was twofold. The scattering of Israel into the ends of the earth and the nations of the earth was twofold. Firstly, it was a judgment and a punishment. We understand that. That's why they were scattered. But secondly, it was a witness and a revealing of Jehovah as their God. Twofold purpose of their scattering: judgment and to be a witness to their God. But we know and understand, of course, they failed in this objective and they dishonored the name in the nations. And I guess largely because they became one with the nations. They become like the nations. They never truly set themselves apart and assimilated, changed their names, did all kinds of things. Tried hard, many of them tried hard. They built synagogues in the nations where they went to, etc. But overall, they've become one with them. And we know if you're an American, an Israeli in America, you are just like the nations. Israel itself is just like the nations. It is a democracy. It trades in exactly the same way. It lives pretty much exactly the same way. It is the whole basis of being in the world is how much money can I make? How well can I live? I know I'm a Jew and I know people hate me, but I will prove I'm as good as them or better. And it tends to be a bit of an unfortunate mindset. Difficult. How difficult to be different and set apart in the way the Almighty wants to be different and set apart, with a different heartbeat, a different mindset. It is very sad when you see so many Jewish names in Hollywood and bankers, traders and moguls and great businessmen and politicians, and sad. They become like them. Still Jews, but they become like them. And Jehovah says, I need to change all that. I want to change all that because that's what profanes my name. But we know that God has an end time plan and purpose and a proclamation to every nation on earth. So his proclamation and message to every nation is of the total purity, separation, and the exceeding greatness and might and nobility and singularity of his name in all the earth. And he's going to do it through Israel. It kind of gives you a picture of what the kingdom will be like, if we can imagine it, if we can try and imagine what the new world, the new kingdom on earth will be like, with no injustice, no immorality, no lying, no stealing,
no pain.
It will be a world totally different to the one we're living in now. Relationships and businesses and people will be made to live under a certain law and order that will be controlled by the Messiah himself. So, how should the nations treat Israel, this being the case? As I said before, they're all on notice, they're all being tested, and Jehovah is using Israel to test them and to put them on notice and to define their character and who they listen to, follow and observe, Satan and his minions. Matthew 25, and we'll finish with this, or we'll never finish. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Now when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Do you think the nations of the world take this seriously? Of course not. Do you think the church takes this seriously? I don't think so. What is the emphasis of the church? I'm not wanting to put the church down because I owe a lot to the church and a lot of good people in the church. But when it comes to the system, when it comes to people within it, when it comes to leaders within it, doesn't matter whether it's Catholicism, Anglicanism, Evangelicals, Lutherans, it doesn't matter. The message is of how well I can live my life now, how well I can be taken care of, and I will escape the tribulation. That's all their focus is. How much I can be blessed, how well I can live, how good life is for me, how much I can enjoy myself and be taken out of the trouble when it starts. That's the mindset. But it isn't the one that we've got here at the mouth of Yeshua. He's going to gather all the nations before him. Nations are people, all the peoples of the earth, and separate them one from another. 31 to 46, 24, let me find it. Matthew 25, 31. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, separate them. Verse 33, and he will put the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Adonai, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And answering, the king will say to them, Amen, I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That has to make us think seriously, doesn't it? What about Netanyahu? Should not he be blessed when he comes into our land, if we want to honour the truth of this scripture? If we come across any Israeli that is in need, aren't we obliged to help and assist him as God's witness and testimony of his chosen method of redemption and salvation for all the earth? We know that is the truth of the message that is being put across here. And, of course, he says to those who want to rail against the Israelis, who want to placard against them, who want to destroy them and hate them, then the exact opposite is going to be happening in their lives. The nations, the point I want to make in finishing, the nations were never meant to punish Israel or hate them. Their banishment from their own land was their punishment and God's judgment upon them. And he punished them at the hands of the Assyrians and at the hand of the Babylonians, at the hands of the Romans, etc. So what right do we have, or any people, to mistreat a Jew simply because of what history has said about them? So what is the end time cry going to be? It's not going to be Allah Akbar, God is great, is it? Multitudes think it is, but it isn't. The cry is going to be Jehovah, the Elohim of Israel, is sovereign and there is no other. That'll be the cry. Jehovah reigns. The Elohim of Israel reigns. And Jehovah will reveal himself and show himself as Kadesh in his deliverance and restoration of Israel before the eyes of all the nations. Yeshua says, "Don't stand in judgment of my people. I will judge them." And it's good for us to just, and all I've been doing is kind of laying a bit of foundation to say that Jehovah and Israel cannot be separated. The name of Israel, his name is in them. The total purpose of humanity can be summed up in that nation. The total message of Jehovah can be summed up in that nation. And how they are treated and how they are loved or how they are hated is going to define what Jehovah is going to do at the end of the age. And he has deliberately put them there as a test to the nations of what you think of me, what you think of the Creator God, Elohim, of all the universe. And everything will be defined about our attitude to this people, this land, and that infects how we relate to their Messiah, to their King, and to the message of the good news of the kingdom of heaven, or whether we change it, water it down, and lose something of its import and passion. Amen. Because it's still rather bewildering, isn't it, how a small change in theology can make you hate someone that God loves. Now, a small emphasis in theology can say God has done away with that nation and has made the church Israel and receive its blessings. It doesn't take much to change the very truth of Scripture and the very heartbeat of Jehovah and the very testimony and witness, and how denominations and churches can change the name Israel to the church, or how it can change the name Israel, the nation Israel, to mean America and Great Britain and Australia and New Zealand and Canada, BI. It's amazing how a shift in theology can take the emphasis right off of Israel altogether and put it on to someone else, to other nations or to the church as a whole. Until churches, denominations, hate Israel and write constitutions against them to side with the Palestinians and the Assyrians and Iranians that hate them. That's what a small shift in theology can do. And unless we have our theology scriptural and make the scriptures say what they say without putting other interpretations on them, it takes us a long way away from the kingdom and into into the heartbeat of where Yeshua says in where we just read us, Matthew 25, that he's going to stand the nations. He's going to bring them all together, and he's going to put the sheep and the goats. He's going to separate them on the basis of what you did to my brethren. It's a stark truth, isn't it? But it's what's going to happen, and that's how it's unfolding. And all we can say is thank you, Jehovah, that our eyes are opened, and we don't want to take their place in the earth. We want to be part of their covenants and promises and entering into the blessing and the prosperity that is going to flow upon them as a nation of kings and priests and rulers over the earth. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you once again for your word and the fact that we can just share and read and say, open our hearts and open our minds and our understanding, that we may walk wisely in this world, and that we may walk in a manner, Father, that's pleasing unto you, and that we may declare and say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you that you are going to set apart your great name in all the earth until all the nations cry out and declare, Jehovah is King. He is the Elohim of all the earth, the God of Israel. So we thank you, Father, that we can just do our best to be supportive and understanding and appreciative of the peoples that have found it very difficult to walk in a manner that is according to your word. And yet so many of the Jewish people have abandoned you, have walked in the ways of the world, pursue the world, still say they're Jews and happy to be Jews, but with the world behind them, supportive of them, and living as one of them, but not truly according to your word, not embracing your Messiah or taking a hold of the redemptive power of the stake and the suffering and the death that he suffered on their behalf. So, Father, may eyes be opened, and Father, may more and more come to see the truth of who you are before that great and terrible day. And we pray, Father, that we may be one with them, and multitudes more shall come out of the system, knowing and understanding that Jehovah has opened their eyes and shown them a better way and said, come out from among them, because great judgment is going to fall upon the religious systems of this world who do not walk according to your ways. So we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to just be part again of worship on the Sabbath. And we pray that you'll be with us and watch over us as we go through our coming week, protection and overshadowing, our comings and our goings. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to fellowship around the table and the provision that you have made for us. Amen.